You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up? What is good? How you living? How you feeling? How you doing? I am still in an Airbnb in Atlanta. But my next three guests, as soon as you look at where they are, it's going to feel just at home. Why? Because it's the best goddamn fantasy podcast that's ever existed. It's a true community, Foot Clan, and armpit-wearing lovers. It's the Fantasy Footballers. I didn't know what that last thing meant, but we keep going. On the left, the dynamic daredevil that is Mike Wright rocking a Phoenix Suns hat. Get you ready for Chris Paul. In the middle, a man whose glasses can fog up like the windows in that scene in the Titanic in the car where they're making love. To my lovemaker, Jason Moore. And to the right, no matter what show he goes on, it's sort of like that scene where the pirate looks at Tom Hanks and says, I'm the captain now. Because Andy Holloway's just got that gene. And his son's really good at flag football.
That's right.
The Fantasy Footballer.
Oh, yes.
What's up, Lefko? Happy to be on.
How y'all living?
Oh, living our best life.
We're doing good. Chris Paul's taking us on into the future. We're living great out here in Phoenix.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, are you full? Like, you go to Dan Marley's bar and, like, getting into it? What are we doing?
It's been a long time, Adam. It's been a long time since we got to enjoy this. And, man, is Chris Paul good. He is so incredibly good and fun to watch, and we've got a chance.
It's just fun to have basketball exist again in the Valley.
Yes.
And I know that, like, you know, fair weather fans, you know, you should stick through the crap. It was too crappy. It was too long, too crappy. So, it's been fun to be back into basketball.
I feel like sports in your area is going through this all, like, you got Kyler Murray, you're signing JJ Watt, you know, you're drafting like the most explosive wide receiver at that position. Like, it's just, and then you have the Phoenix Suns where, like, I agree. Look, I was a Sixers fan. We openly tanked, but we hit a floor and then bounced up. And I feel like you guys were hiring like foreign coaches that no one knew and like passing up on Luka. Like, I don't know. It's exciting. Like,
we have a great coach. Monty Williams is amazing.
Yes.
And yeah, we spent, you know, when we grew up, the Suns were everything out here. And it was like we had the 20 plus seasons making the playoffs, Kevin Johnson era. Mm. And then you just go into this Robert Sarver death spiral of pain.
Gracious.
And Mike's been rocking Suns caps proudly for a few weeks here.
Yeah,
now,
man. You had to get back in.
Yeah.
You had to get back in because we were all diehards. And then we were just.
Just
and we
dying.
Were just dead. There was a part of my life that was gone. So it is very exciting to finally be back in.
How did you guys love Barkley back in the day?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, we were growing up with Barkley begging us not to be, you know, him not to our role model. And we're like, yeah, that's my role model.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Man, he was so popular back then. Plus, he's dropping 50, like 60 in the playoffs and shit. Like, so
he owned the town. He owned it. It was awesome.
He still lives there. You know what I mean? Like, he's only going to go a place where he's loved. So I love that. Okay, so are we in like dynasty mode right now? Is that what everyone's doing in fantasy world?
A little bit. I mean, we stay pretty redraft centric on the show, but I mean, funny enough, we are launching our first ever Dynasty Week on the podcast. We've been talking. We finished up our rookie draft last week or so. So yeah, I mean, it's rookie fever. That's for sure.
Is there like the one? Who's the one rookie this year that is the most coveted? Is it Najee?
It is the two of us for sure. Okay. We're both madly in love with Najee. We love them.
And each other.
Each other. I mean, we've, you know, long time, we hold hands and we skip.
Just yell,
and whistle,
Najee!
Najee! But I mean, we loved his tape. We loved his film. I think the landing spot is.
You're not concerned about that O line?
Oh, nope. I am. I'm not concerned. I don't think he's got the ability to be a top five back.
in fantasy.
He'll get them carries, though.
But exactly. He's going to get all the carries. He's going to get the targets from Big Ben. And when you got that kind of volume, he's going to be great. I do think the O-line is a serious issue.
Yeah, Mike,
I don't
why
expect
are you not worried
there...
about the O-line?
Because of the volume. The volume will be there. Like, it's... I agree that it's a problem for the Pittsburgh Steelers and Najee, like, somehow, you know, being the number one overall fantasy running back, he would need some help there. But the you will overcome bad offensive line play with the talent that he brings, the skills, the three down skill set. Like,
I brought up like the Lev Bell Jets year. Like, if you have a level of volume, you're probably going to end up 12 to 15 in the running back range. Even if you're inefficient.
But that Le'Veon Bell was we didn't realize it at the time because we hadn't seen him in over a year because he held out. But that Lev Bell was already toasted. He was already done. So now you're getting Najee Harris, who is I guess he's a little bit older coming into the league for a rookie running back.
Yeah.
But he's fresh and he's ready to go. So I am 100% in with Harris.
Andy, who's your top guy?
I think Najee's the most coveted. I agree with that statement. I think
he's just a little more hesitant than we are.
Yeah, I just the offensive line and the fact that I think, you know, when everybody rallies around one player, I try to look at and see, you know, I think ETN has a great opportunity in Jacksonville. And the reaction, you know, it was so negative because everyone out here believes James Robinson deserves his due, right? It's like the Phillip Lindsay year that, you know, Jason's, you brought that up before, where, but new coaching staff wants a pass catching running back to be out there.
He wants speed.
He wants speed, and he's been great for his running backs in his collegiate days. So
you know what's funny? I'm not even worried about James Robinson. I'm worried about Carlos fucking Hyde because I'm being serious.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
played for Urban Meyer at Ohio State.
Yeah.
He got drafted by Trent Baalke. He thinks he can catch. Like it's bizarro, Najee. I think the touches are going to be more valuable. I think he could have 5 to 6 catches a game. It kind of gives me DeAndre Swift vibes, though, from last year, where it's like, hey, Kerryon's not the guy, but you're not going to realize it until week 9. And then at that point, it's like, what did we waste all this time for? Like, he was the guy all along.
That is the challenge with rookie running backs is, I mean, last year, Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, they hit waiver wires throughout the year because of just, like, fatigue. You know, you draft them, you don't see the potential, you need a roster spot.
J.K. Dobbins.
You rotate back to them later in the year, but it's been one of the tips we've brought up is like sometimes you have to wait. Even Miles Sanders' rookie season, it was like, come on, when is it coming? When is it coming? Because the teams, unfortunately, Adam, they don't focus on fantasy football the way that we do.
So selfish. Big problem.
And that's why Frank Gore can be somebody's favorite running back for year after year is there's other things. There's the intangible factors of picking up that blitz or just being, you know, an intelligent mind in the huddle. And these things are going to factor in. And like you said, they brought in Carlos Hyde, right? It was an Urban Meyer choice. James Robinson wasn't. He can be like, yeah, this was a great he's going to be a center of our running back room. And then his evidence is picking up Hyde and ETN. And then you're sitting there shaking your head going, well, is the James Robinson era already over?
Want to know my top running back?
Sure.
So my brother, what's up?
Is it Michael Carter?
It is Michael Carter.
Yeah. Yes.
Because my brother had a dynasty draft. And so a lot of my family only talks to me when they have to like pick their bracket or like draft fantasy. And I'm like, oh, this is great. We're connecting. But he hit me up and he had the 7th pick. He traded back and picked up 2 picks. And I was like, I would go Waddle at 7 if he lasts, and he did, and then pick up Michael Carter at the top of the 2nd. Because I don't know if you guys did, but when I watch clips of Mekhi Becton, I see Jonathan Ogden, and I'm just like, he just tossed motherfuckers all season long, and now you move up and get Elijah Vera Tucker at guard there, and I'm just, you have a run game coordinator that you just stole from Kyle Shanahan, who's like the up-and-coming guy. You have a head coach that was just with Kyle Shanahan that's all about the run, and who else is on the roster? Like, I don't know, man. I get really excited about Michael Carter just mainly because of the left side of that offensive line.
Yeah, when Connor brought up who's your kind of later round value, that name came up because it just jumps out as, you know, what is it? Talent and opportunity, great offensive line, maybe a rebuilt team under the new head coach. There's definitely potential there for first year value.
Yes.
Which, depending on how you're drafting, you know, if you're drafting and you have a view to competing this year, you might get two birds with Michael Carter.
Yeah, where it's tough, I think, for Carter. I mean, number one, he's a fourth round pick. I know it's the beginning of the fourth round pick of the fourth round, but it's still a day three pick, and we know probability wise, yes, just looking at rookies that hit from that area, very, very, very low. And if this is a Shanahan system, you're going to see multiple running backs. And I mean,
true,
who's there? Like,
Tevin Coleman personally is really the
guy. I think P. Ryan can play. Mm. I do think that LaMichael P. Ryan can play. He was also Jason shakes his head.
Yeah, because he can't. I mean, he can play slow. That's still playing.
Well, Michael Carter is not a burner by any means.
See, I
they could have a foot race, and then we'll jump in there and beat him.
Michael Carter would smoke P. Ryan in a foot race.
I was saying, Carter is slow, and Carter is small. So yeah, those two things, and a fourth-round pick. The opportunity is 100% there that he could come in and be a day one, could end up being the day one starter. But too much of us are talking about Michael Carter. Like, he went – did he go at the back of our first round? And he either went there or at the very, very beginning of the second, where, like – Terrace Marshall, like elite second round wide receivers, are getting drafted behind Michael Carter, mostly because the running back group is brutal. You can get Trey
Sermon.
That's
what I'm saying. You got to get the running backs because the wide receivers, it was a very deep wide receiver draft.
Yes. And that's, I'm punting. I'm punting the running back. If you don't get one of the big three guys, like, I'm okay with Trey
Sermon.
And
so Javonte Williams is in your big three.
Yes, yes, he is.
So, in a dynasty league, yes. I mean, he's not going to be great this season, and sometimes you've got to hold on to a guy. But in a dynasty league, you know, Melvin Gordon is an unrestricted free agent next year. He's not going to be back on the team. And they traded up to grab him, so they're investing in their future. Yeah. And you're going to have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. So, it's, you know, it's a lot of reasons to like.
Yeah, how are you guys handling the Aaron Rodgers rumors when it comes to, like, if you're doing drafts right now? You know what I mean? Like, processing the fact that, like, Davante Adams can be playing with Jordan Love, but then also Jerry Jeudy might become Davante Adams next year.
I think I tweeted earlier this morning, very excited about Jeudy in a dynasty league with his age potential. It was atrocious to watch him get separation, but then, you know, not be able to connect with Drew Lock. It's just pain. But I really think he's a, like, no risk dynasty buy right now, because Jeudy. I think maybe you end up with Aaron Rodgers there. You know, I don't know what the odds of that actually happening are, but if it did, it's a home run. And if you don't, you have time. They'll find a quarterback that's not named Drew Lock at some point in time. And I just
Teddy's
think that,
accurate enough to take advantage of slants and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he works the intermediate 10 to 19 area of the field, and then you let the burners go. So
yeah, KJ Hamler is not going to be catching many deep balls, but Jeudy across the middle is great.
Yeah, and so it was hard, you know, at times to watch what took place there, but I think he has so much upside in that offense that, you know, I know Jason, he moved on from Davante Adams.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I shipped him off. He was, you know, I was the Davante manager in our league, and I was looking to see if I could capitalize and trade. I was able to flip him for a little package around it, but Zeke and a pick. So I got out because I don't think
a first
Aaron
rounder
Rodgers,
next year, I think.
Yes. Zeke and a first rounder.
Do you guys agree that he won that trade?
That's a good question. We haven't talked
about it. I don't
know. If Aaron Rodgers is back.
It's a very simple binary if situation where if Rodgers is back with Green Bay, then Adams is he traded the best wide receiver in the game for a running back that might not have a lot of time left and a first rounder that, you know, no matter how much research you do, there's a bust rate in that first round in Dynasty League. So it all comes down to the gamble of that Rodgers situation.
100%. So that shows you where I am. I don't believe Rodgers will be the quarterback this year, but I don't have any super inside knowledge outside of what everybody else knows, what the beat reporters are saying, what local people are saying, and even some local people from some of the other teams that are involved in the trade rumors. You know, that's why I joke that you know, Judy and Sutton would have Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, because the people in Denver seem still sure that they're going to get that deal done.
It does seem like it. Do you think it's just like overconfidence from the fact that they were the team that got Peyton Manning back in the day, and they're like, we've done this before?
Well, look, if you're that team that did it and won a championship, yeah, you're like, we'll do whatever it takes. We've watched this movie before. It was awesome.
It's also a way to rationalize not picking Justin Fields in the first round when you had the opportunity to do so. You got to believe that your team has a bigger plan than just passing on a potential franchise quarterback.
Yeah, they went the opposite. They were like, quarterback? No. We're going cornerback.
Yeah, and it you was misheard like, us. Oh, wow.
There was a lot of wide receivers that I think were very talented that went to some interesting spots. There's also, though, a few where I'm like, sure, they're spark plugs, but like, there's a lot of mouths to feed. I think of Kadarius Toney. I think of the guy at your team, Rondale Moore. But I'm excited about those players, and I don't know what to do. To me, they kind of feel like avoids, but because I just don't know what's going to happen with AJ Green too. Like, there's just a lot of questions.
They're both going to help their NFL franchises a lot more than your fantasy team.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of mouths to feed. There are small diminutive players that aren't going to most likely have a large target volume. I do know that Kyler was helping to recruit some of these wide receivers, and he gave the tape, and he loved Rondale. So that's helpful. That's good to know. The truth is, for me, like, when I was scouting Rondale Moore, and I read back what I wrote down, I'm like, I love this guy. I love him. He's got to go to a place that's going to use him the right way. And as local fans here, we're not believers in Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's
really,
yeah, he's, I don't think he is a great offensive mind, and I don't trust that he's going to be able to get the most out of Rondale. So that's a shame. And there were a lot of...
Did he recruit him by showing him Andy Isabella tape, and then that just got them to draft Rondale?
So that
Moore?
Was my question is, are you guys ready to just officially say goodbye to Andy Isabella?
Yeah. Farewell.
It was a fun run, you know?
Yeah, those Jets
sweeps. You didn't mean a single run, right? Like a single play?
The Jets sweeps were awesome.
Yeah, how I'm just thinking about Andy it was Isabella just really, is at it
was,
running.
It was just really fun to go, a white guy that ran a 4.3 at a UMass? Like, it was just fun to say that. Now, what happened afterwards was nothing, but it was fun to think about it.
He was our DeAndre Ayton to the DK Metcalf, Luka Doncic situation in that draft. So that one burns, but much like the Rosen decision,
you're talking
you move
to
on.
The Eagles who drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So please hold your applause.
What I will say is... Where he will go, Andy Isabella is probably gone, and it will take some time, but Rondale Moore is going to take Christian Kirk's spot in the offense. I think he'll go into the slot.
We'll always have that Thursday game against the Cowboys, guys.
Yes, right. Yes, Kirk. We will. But Green and Hopkins will be on the outside, and a true air raid system, it can be very productive for the slot wide receivers. And what Jason's talking about is of our lack of faith with Cliff Kingsbury. Looking at the next gen stats, look at what Hopkins is doing. I think it was Andy coined the term, but he wasn't running a route tree; he was running a route bush, because he just has him like filter out to the left a little bit and stay very very close to the line of scrimmage. But it could turn into fantasy value for Rondale Moore, just due to the routes that Cliff, for some reason, draws up.
Y'all are really down on Cliff.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a
don't tell him.
don't tell Cliff. Well, we're going to be our biggest critics too, because Kyler, you know, between Kyler and Cliff, there were a lot of mental mistakes from both of them.
Oh,
it's why they struggled in the red zone. It's why they struggled in kind of high intense situations where, like, you know, clock management and some play calling snafus that make you scratch your head and say, boy,
there was
that
a lot
two
of
two
times
rookies.
Where that play calling that play clock was getting awful. Right to one. And I went into the year saying, after 5 weeks, Kyler Murray is going to be the favorite for MVP. Because, like, that's the expectations that I had. And you guys had, like, easy matchups in the first 4 weeks. But as I watched him play, the mistakes, the knocking down of balls, I love the way that he protects himself. But the loss of a yard or two here and there with the early slider, the going out of bounds, I just – there was a lot of times where I was like – I need a little bit more Lamar. I need a little bit more Russ. I need a little bit more risk taking. And I really hope out of all the signings, not James Conner, not AJ Green, Rodney Hudson's the guy where if he's got Big Bro at center that can kind of communicate with him, maybe that, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm hoping for. But like, I don't think people talk enough about the fact that that year two bump that was supposed to happen with Kyler Murray really didn't happen. And it was really disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, you saw flashes. That's what you've seen from both Cliff and, I mean, they've been like, you know, one of the leading scoring teams for a stretch, and then they disappear. So yeah. I think it's a matter of consistency on both their parts. And I think we hope out here it comes with experience from both of them. A third, you know, season together, solidify the offensive line, protect Kyler. The back half of the year, it's hard to kind of hold against Kyler because of the injury, and it changed the dynamic of what he was doing, but consistency has been a problem.
And it's really his first off season, right? Because rookie year, you're dealing with, you know, the draft and preparing for all of that. This last year was obviously the COVID. And now this is his first off season going like complete control and having a program to be a part of. So hopefully he takes that leap that we saw Josh Allen take this last year, even further forward. I think he can because, oh man, I'm shaking my head yes when you're describing all of the little things that Kyler, I mean, you're just 100% right.
Throw the ball away there, Kyler. Yeah. Don't run out of bounds.
But rookie Kyler. Yeah.
Dude, there is nothing worse than the 4-yard loss when all you have to do is just fucking
throw the ball 4 yards. Why are you going out of bounds?
Yeah,
but rookie Kyler made so many worse mistakes. 20-yard sack after 20-yard sack, and he got rid of that. So I do think he'll improve this year.
Yeah. I just, because look, I bought a lot of his cards. You know what I mean? And I was like, this is going
to
be great.
The money.
Well, it's the same thing is if you really like somebody, why not invest in them? If you're in a dynasty league and you really believe in somebody, go for them. It'll make it more fun. And so cards is just a vehicle of me investing in my sports takes. You know, like I went hard on Dame Lillard a year ago and it worked out great. And so it's...
and every year you have a different Eagles wide receiver to buy a bunch of cards from.
So where are you guys on that? I said earlier today that the fact that Gettleman is pissed is making me love it so much more because I haven't been on this side of it now for a few years. We talked about Arthega Whiteside, DK, Jalen Reagor instead of Justin Jefferson. It's never been the situation where we get Devontae Smith and then the other team's like, damn it. But
does making Gettleman mad scare you though?
Yeah.
No, I love Devontae
Smith. I think Gettleman's had two good drafts in a row. Like, I think that a lot of us, like, tech-savvy young guys want to make fun of Gettleman, but, like, he's kind of fucking killed it.
He deserves to be made fun of. How do you not possibly think that a team is going to leap, just try and move up two spots, a team that needs a wide receiver,
I know,
and a Heisman-winning wide receiver is dropping in the draft, and he's just sitting there.
But then he made the right move.
Trading back,
the same guy. That was like the reaction that was smart.
The trade back was
Are
you
great.
Saying Kadarius Toney is as good as Devontae Smith?
The same guy that they wanted at that pick, they were able to trade back and still get him. Obviously, they wanted Smith first. But once they didn't have Smith, he at least had the wherewithal to go back.
They didn't want Kadarius Toney. They wanted Devontae Smith, and they're not the same guy. Kadarius Toney's done it for a season, and he's more of a running back than he is a wide receiver. Devontae Smith won the fucking Heisman.
Oh yeah, one of these guys, like literally, they're the opposite to me because coming into draft season, Devontae Smith was my favorite wide receiver by a wide margin. I liked him way more than Ja'Marr Chase personally, and Kadarius Toney was a guy who was like off my board. Like I don't like him for fantasy going forward. I don't expect him to ever be.
He gives me like LaVisca Chenault vibes.
Oh, and you're out on Chenault?
I would love to get LaVisca Chenault vibes.
I'm not out on Chenault, but it's what you guys said about Rondale Moore. You got to have an OC that knows what to do, because when Cordarrelle Patterson was on the Vikings and they tried to make him a wide receiver, we went through years of going, this guy's not a good wide receiver. But then when you start using him like the Patriots did or Chicago kind of did, and you're mixing him around, I don't like if he runs for a 50-yard touchdown, he's good in fantasy. But I feel like he's one of those guys that gives you like four carries, three catches, and you're crossing your finger that he breaks one. That's kind of how I see him.
Yeah, he's a help the NFL team, but can't count on him in fantasy week to week, the way that Tavon could occasionally help the Rams early on, but couldn't really help your fantasy team. But I think Smith has as good a chance as anybody to be the most productive rookie wide receiver from a pure volume and opportunity standpoint. Because this, who do you got? I mean, you've got Jalen Reagor and you've got Devonta Smith and Greg Ward. And we're sitting around saying, hey, if Jalen Hurts can take a step forward and they let him throw the football a little bit, at least Smith is going to be that safety valve over and over again where you may PPR your way to some value.
Andy, you saw that game that Jalen Hurts played against the Cardinals last year? You saw that. You saw – come on. I know if anybody saw it, you did. I have people over my house, and I'll go, you got like 30 minutes? You want to watch the YouTube of Arizona, Philadelphia and see what Jalen Hurts is really capable of? You guys saw it.
Lefko, I am terrified of – two of my takes, terrified, because I'm on record here as a Jalen Hurts believer. I think he's good.
Dude, me and Jason really do agree on everything, and it's starting to fucking scare me.
You agree with Lefko's Eagle fan.
A known homer. No, trust me, I'm terrified.
It's not even about the Eagles. I just bought some really expensive Jalen Hurts cards when there I was one day, and so I'm all
he's an investor.
So I like Jalen Hurts, and then pre-draft, I'm talking up Devontae Smith. Like, he's really great. I don't care about the weight issue. He's a great wide receiver. So now both of these guys are together, right? And so it should be good if I'm right. Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith should be good, and I'm terrified because if it doesn't work out, then it's like a double whammy here on my takes.
Now, after the Arizona game, though, do you throw the Washington game on?
I thought he played great in the Washington game.
I did, too. I know his stats
were
atrocious.
I want to say this right now, that my issue with a lot of current football fans is that they're not watching the games. They're not going on YouTube and watching the highlights. They're really pulling up the stats. And for me, I remember that there was a few things in my life that have forever looked at the way that I looked at stats. One of them was OCU Manura getting 6 sacks on Winston Justice. And he ended the year with 10. And I remember that all offseason, they were like, double-digit sacks. And I go, he had 60% of them in one game. And it's such a small sample size that to look at stats, I know Jason probably say this, but when he played against Washington, they pulled him out of that game because they were going to win if he was in the game. I think he had 2 rushing touchdowns. I think that he was running all over the place. Again, this is an Eagles team that lost Brandon Brooks for the season. Lane Johnson missed 7 games. Andre Diller missed the entire season. Isaac Simelo missed 7 games. Their starting wide receivers were Greg Ward. Like, he was the starter. Zach Ertz missed a lot of time. Miles Sanders missed.
Zach, your team got better when Zach Ertz was off the field.
Yeah, probably.
Thank you.
I don't want to talk. But he had nobody out there. And because they pulled him for Nate Sudfeld, we were able to get the 6th pick instead of the 9th pick, which gave us enough draft ammunition to get a first-round pick and to go up and get Devontae Smith. So,
it's all great if Jalen Hurts is your guy. And if he ends up being, and the truth is
what if we
I'm
get Aaron
not,
Rodgers?
I am not necessarily, exactly.
Every fan of the NFL right now. Oh, can we get Aaron Rodgers?
I'm not necessarily out on Jalen Hurts. Well, there's 2 discussions, right? There's NFL quarterback Jalen Hurts and there's fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, because I know the fantasy community is obsessed with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, when you can rush for 800 to 1,000 yards as a potential, you know, you're guaranteed productive no matter what your completion percentage is. But I just don't think we saw enough to know whether Hurts is the guy forever because, you know, the first game or two, no film on him. Teams don't know how to respond. He had his biggest rushing outputs in those games. Mm-hmm. I just want to see more Jalen Hurts before I put like a dynasty stamp on him. That's
agreed. Agreed. And what I would say to you as someone that's been a homer, but is I try to be very realistic. I interviewed Adam Grant on this podcast. He wrote a book called Think Again. And so every time that I'm really bullish on something, I step back and I go, how can I be wrong? And my thing with Jalen Hurts is I think he throws a beautiful deep ball. I think he's legitimately fast. I think 4.59 is legitimately fast for the NFL. And I think he's a great leader. But I question his arm strength. I question his accuracy sometimes. And also, this is a brand new coaching staff with a head coach that I'm not really sold on just yet. So I don't really know, but I got to give credit to the Eagles to have what's likely to be three first round picks in next year's draft. If he's not the guy, now you have enough ammunition, whether it's to trade for an active guy or to move up in the draft. I think they've handled it well. But I also think Carson Wentz is going to make the Eagles look really dumb this year. I don't know about you guys, but I look at the Colts. I look at the Colts and the Browns are the two teams that I look at. I'm like, not enough people are talking about these teams. And Carson can be scary.
Yeah, I mean, we love Frank Reich. I mean, he's great, a great head coach. And if you're going to put Carson into a position where he can mentally recover and kind of start fresh with some weapons, with a great offensive line, it's hard to paint a better picture for him than reuniting with Frank Reich. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a very interesting season in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's going to be an answer to a question. A lot of times you don't get the answer you're wanting. But, like, when Lev Bell went to Kansas City last year, we were like, we're going to know. Is he washed or was it Adam Gase? And then he went to the best situation possible and he was washed, couldn't beat Darrell Williams. We're going to know with Carson Wentz. He's in a perfect situation. If he's not playing well and you know, they're not winning games, is him.
Mm. Well, I guess last I heard from Nick Sirianni, though, isn't it Flacco and Hurts are competing for the starting job?
All I know is as long as Hurts doesn't think, that leads to talent takeover, you know? So that's the Nick Sirianni quote. So,
oh my gosh.
Less thinking equals talent takeover.
And you're not sold on him.
But you know, the one thing I would say about Carson's mental state is Frank being there is huge. But there is a therapist and his name is Quentin Nelson. And when that guy's on your team, a lot of your fears just go away. Because this dude's out here just taking people's heads off, and you're like, I don't have to worry about this. They sign Eric Fisher. It could be big. So I have a different question for you guys. I am getting married as we record this in about 12 days.
All right. Congratulations.
And so if we can go around the room, I would love some sage marital advice. Ooh. If you have any. I don't care about the wedding. I'm going to handle the wedding. Nobody going to tell me shit. I'm eating pigs in a blanket and dancing my face off. Like, I'm not talking to nobody, but marriage stuff I would love.
Very nice.
I can jump in.
You go.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Like, when you're in close quarters, small stuff starts to build upon itself only if you let it. You can make an active decision of... I mean, you can kind of say, like, pick your battles, but I'm saying you got to... You will both have irritants on each other because we're humans. We all irritate each other in one way or another. You just got to rise above it and be like, this crap does not matter. I'm not going to factor this into other decisions or arguments that we are going to have together. You can't let just small crap build so that there is a giant tower of resentment over it, of something that's not actually part of
it. I'd like to ask a follow-up question. Mike, would you recommend saying this doesn't matter when it's an issue that they brought up? Because I think that's a, I wouldn't say it then.
No, I'm saying this is all just self-talk.
Internal dialogue.
You don't say this doesn't matter. You tell yourself, you just remind yourself.
Let it go.
This doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't need to be right here.
Okay, good. Right. I needed that clarification because that would have been external and not anymore.
No, then you will have more problems.
Honey, this doesn't matter. All right, here's my piece of advice. Never become roommates. You got to keep that passion alive. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Try to
keep that romance hot. It's going to be easy at first, but look, we're 16 years into marriage. Don't fall into the trap of just being roommates. You know,
Follow-up question. What are Jason Moore's tips and tricks to keeping the romance alive?
Love dinners.
All right. Love dinners. Yeah. We cook together. We go to bed at the same time 95% of the time. I think that's helpful because, yeah, I mean, you know, you... You gotta go to if you don't know. Now you know.
Wow! I felt like I'm on an episode of Cribs, and this is where magic happens.
That's a real good tip. And make sure you
nothing can happen if only one of you's in the bed.
Always keep dating. Go out on dates.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of, mine's a little bit like Mike's, but I remember being a really young man before I was getting married, and we're all married almost the same, yeah. like year 15, 15 16. This year. Yeah.
I just assume that you've all been married together and lived nearly the same lives for like the
we
last
have. 15 years. We're mirrors.
We have a compound now.
We're the, what is the alternating universes. We're yes. just barely variants. But I remember seeing bad marriages as a kid and going, how could I ever get to that point? Like, how does that marriage exist? And then now being married 15 years, I know what happens, and it's like you get slightly off, and then you repeat it for 15 years. So when you have a bad habit, when you're not forgiving your wife and you're holding it for year after year after year, that's when that stuff can, it grows over time. So you're if you're on the right path for 15 years, you get a lot of good fruit. And you're on the wrong path for 15 years, you get bad fruit. So I think it's just...
it's like steering a big ship.
Yeah, yeah, you get it off course, but then you repeat it forever, and it, you know.
It's wild, because it's stupid, small, tedious crap. Like,
can I have an example, Mike? Because I feel like
an example that popped into my head. An example that popped into my head. My wife brushes her teeth in the shower, okay? So frequently.
So a psychopath.
Yeah. I mean, like, we got some issues. So frequently.
You got a fight coming up? Like,
frequently, I'll go to brush my teeth. And the toothpaste isn't there. And look, it sounds small, but when you like when you get to that point, or I'm saying like when you go to brush your teeth and something has already triggered you, now it's another paper cut. You're like, I gotta go get the stupid toothpaste.
And again.
It's dumb.
The toothpaste ever have hair on it?
No, but the shower wall definitely often has hair on it.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, you know the hair
that's
monster.
That's its own thing.
But check this out. Just buy a second thing of toothpaste.
Yeah, you could do that.
And then the problem goes away. Sort of.
Till they both end up in the shower.
I just prefer using the whitening. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, congratulations. Yeah. That's so exciting.
Thanks.
12 days away. Wow.
It's right around the corner, man. It's happening.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Can't believe it. Thank you for the advice. Now, another follow-up, because Mike said things that annoy you. Let's get real honest here, guys. Let's go around one more time. Mike, what's one thing from the footballers that's been annoying you lately that you'd really like to get off your chest? A take, an idiosyncrasy, a noise that they make when they eat. Where would you like to start, Mike?
Jason Moore refuses to get on board with our new tight end overlord and savior of the position, Kyle Pitts. My man over here just keeps tossing shade after shade. I mean, he's got his own store full of shades blocking out Kyle Pitts and just accepting it and let it wash over him that Pitts is about to dominate for years and years and years.
I mean, to defend myself and my honor here, I love Kyle Pitts. I think he is
great. No, you
don't. I think people are a little insane with the reality that there is a 0% chance that he disappoints. And that is not the truth. This is the NFL. Every first round rookie drafted since Greg Olsen has been a disappointment. And that's not to say Kyle Pitts will. It's just to say he can. It is not a guarantee.
Although he's a big Hayden Hurst guy.
Lefko, I was going to say part of Jason's usual argument involves the name Hayden Hurst coming up.
Right. Yeah,
so that's what's happening.
I mean,
happening
they did trade a lot of draft capital for him.
They did. The Hayden Hurst argument is redraft. That is redraft focus. Long term, we're going to be.
But Hayden Hurst will be one of the most despised players in the NFL last year or next year, simply from Kyle Pitts drafters when he catches that red zone touchdown.
He just stands in the way of Kyle.
And then
Pitts,
when Lee Smith catches a touchdown, oh Falcon,
oh, no.
Oh, it's going to be even worse. It's
all bets are off. That's like leaving the toothpaste in the shower right there.
My Jason, pet peeve now for the footballers is our gigantic Mondo 700 tab document that we use to stat out all of these players. We are in the midst of building the stats for every single team, every single player for the Ultimate Draft Kit, and it takes me about 10 to 700 times longer than it takes these guys. I feel like I have a learning disability. when I sit in front of this sheet and I'm doing all the research and I'm statting these guys out, I'm like, all right, I feel really, really good with that player I just statted. And I look over and Andy's finished with that team. And I'm like, what? How did you do this? So that's
that is a fun part of every year.
That's a month-long pet peeve. It's basically when the NFL draft ends and then we launch the Ultimate Draft Kit on June 1st. So that it has to be done. And it takes me forever. So that's my current.
Before Andy goes, I just want to hear some sunshine in the darkness through your very slow statting out process. Did anyone surprise you that you went, oh, I actually, that's uplifting.
So not
only
yet.
Done two players left.
Well, so here's the other
thing. Just getting started.
The reason that this came up as my real pet peeve right now, when I'm thinking like, what is really bothering me? It's that I've got to get to it more. Because I just moved. I'm literally like 3 days ago just moved. So I'm in the middle of unboxing my house and trying to like
stats.
Find life. And I'm trying to make time over here. So right now, as far as players that have surprised me, it's how few are statted. That's the big surprise right now.
That would have been my guess then for Andy's is that Jason keeps talking about the move. Is it a lot? Is he talking about the move a lot? People talk about their moves all the time.
Oh yeah, the pictures. He's got big pictures coming in. My pet peeve that has become a meme on the show now, thankfully, is that Jason used to defend a lot of his arguments with the fact a player was drafted to be great. That's what his quote was. Drafted. And I was always thinking in my head, they're all drafted to be great. What are they doing? They're all being drafted to be superstars. But now that has become a t-shirt. And he actually catches himself every time he says it.
Yeah, who were the players that he was using it for?
Sammy Watkins. Drafted to be great.
Or Eric pick. Ebron. You know, drafted he was a top 10 draft pick. He was drafted to be great, which is, I don't know, Kyle Pitts.
Stop.
Drafted to be great.
See what I'm dealing with over here?
Yeah.
Eric Ebron comps to Kyle Pitts. Get out of here.
People loved Ebron his rookie season. He was going to be the next great tight end. Evan Ingram was going to be the next great pass catcher.
Jalen Reagor. Drafted to be great.
Yeah, he was.
Mike, I'll be honest. I went through a stage during the draft process where I was a Kyle Pitts truther. Where it was just, I couldn't watch TV where they were like, it's like getting a tight end and a receiver. And I'm like, it's not though. Like it's not that at all. Like my issue, I'll just say that my issue with Kyle Pitts in real life football is like, everyone just didn't talk about the fact that he doesn't block a lot. Like it's just not talked about. Like they're
that's
like
the
Travis Kelce
part.
And George Kittle. I'm like, the reason Travis Kelce and George Kittle are so valuable is they're like having a sixth offensive lineman and a receiver on the field.
Sure. But you know who didn't block? Jimmy Graham.
True. Darren Waller. You know, like, and I get it. I'm just talking about football players. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not talking about fantasy at this point. But I will say that it is Kyle Pitts does fail the there's not enough people talking about his downside, and I think we're getting a little bit swept up in infinite possibilities. Like, I definitely had that. But
oh, fantasy football.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what happens, right? I mean, we're undefeated right now. It all looks good.
Oh, so Ingber and I were talking about this on the last pod, that the best time to cross our worlds to sell your football cards is when fantasy football teams are being drafted. Because the hype is so high that like you're sitting there and you're like, I know Daniel Jones is my quarterback, but did you see the weapons they got? Like you can make the argument for anybody.
100%.
Nobody is realistic about their fantasy team after they draft.
Oh, it's a season of hope.
You heard LaMichael Pirine over here. He's ready to go for his dynasty team.
That's right.
Sell your cards if they printed any.
a card question.
Sure.
Is the selling period like right before the season, so the draft period, is it better then or is it better at the end of the season when the players have come through?
So it depends. Like last year, perfect example. Kyler Murray's cards, even after those first 4 or 5 weeks, they were dropping down. His peak was right before the season. And because didn't really have a playoff run, nothing there, it just kind of went there and flattened out. Josh Allen, man. If you can find the two or three guys that are going to truly exceed expectations and truly make an MVP run, those, in my opinion, are the only ones whose value you actually want at the end of the year. I think that for the first time in a long time, NFL cards are catching up to NBA cards. And I'm not talking about individual players. I'm talking about the selling of the boxes. And I think the huge reason why is Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes was pacing the football market for the last few years. But with Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl and people realizing that he has seven rings, and it makes sense that his rookie card should be selling for $200,000. Like, there was a lot of people that were looking at Mahomes and they were like, I get it, endless possibilities. What if he gets hurt? You know, it's a little bit like how we talk about Luka. We get it. He could, but what if, but like, what if he never wins? But now with Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl, it's created this like gravitational pull where Brady's at the top now, and it justifies a lot of the other pricing. But I'll always say, focus on quarterbacks if you're going to get into cards, because they're just like the NFL and how they treat contracts. They're really the only ones that matter. But wide receivers are finally getting up there. But in the last few years, you do not buy running back cards. You mentioned Le'Veon Bell. You mentioned Melvin Gordon, James Conner. You know what I mean? There's too much turnover that it's never worth it. But if you get like a Julio, you know what I mean, or something like that, wide receivers can last for a long time. So that was your sports card minute.
You buying a bunch of Baker cards? You calling your shot?
I bought a Baker card before the last season, and I was happy about it. But I got a lot of hope for the Browns. That O-line, those wide receivers coming back, Nick Chubb. How many games did Nick Chubb miss last year?
Four, I believe.
Four, yeah.
Felt like 40.
The defense? Yeah. The defense is looking great. The fact that they were, their schedule. Third. They were third last year in the division, so their schedule is going to be great this year.
You're right. Right. All right, is there anything else that you guys want to talk about? Do you want to do Lefko impressions really quick? Ooh. Do you want to know what Shaq is like? We'll wrap it up.
Does what? Shaq do a Lefko impression? Oh. Or does Lefko do a Shaq impression?
Definitely. Hey, Lefko, how long until your wedding? 21 days. Oh, yo, Wade, he's like actually excited to get married. I'm like, yes, I am.
Oh, you don't know bitter Shaq.
You don't have any power over making sure the Suns don't end up facing the Lakers in the first round on accident, right?
Unbelievable.
Can you make sure that that doesn't happen?
I think actually, though, Phoenix has a little bit of control over this, because I think that they play the Blazers and a few other teams like in their final few games, and the Blazers are at that sixth seed.
Yeah, and they need to take care.
They got
to
take care of them. No, they need to beat them and
knock them down. Let the Lakers come up a spot. Yeah,
It is interesting because Schroeder's coming back. LeBron apparently is looking good. AD's averaging 39 points the last two games.
We already know the recipe for the Lakers. Yes. We know what's happening here.
Yeah,
I don't want them in the first. Give me some playoff.
It really would be tough. I mean, it really is crazy that either Utah is having like an incredible season or you guys make the playoffs for the first time in 10 years and one of you has to face the Lakers. That's fucking crazy.
That's not fair.
That's stupid.
Well, I mean, they would, to be honest though, they would be in the seventh seed without a play-in tournament. Like, they would be there anyway.
Oh yeah, I don't care about the play-in tournament. We're Phoenix Suns.
They better get to the sixth seed.
We know what happens to the Suns in the playoffs, and it's we get hosed
Robert Horry.
We get hosed by something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the suspensions when they came on the court.
I still have the Donahue problems with that game.
Yeah, the hip check. That. Oh man, we're bitter Suns fans from the past.
Who was it? Who was on the Mavericks that made Joe Johnson fall on his face?
Oh yeah, when his ocular bone got broken. I don't remember who it was, but it was another bad break in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm.
I just want to end with one thing. Love Jack Doyle. Love him. It's not a podcast with the Fan Bowlers, footballers, if me and Mike aren't like, Jack Doyle!
Well, we've got it right here. This is, you probably don't recognize this guy, but he is a short-lived cartoon from a long time ago. His name is Gigantor. And that is the nickname that we call Mo Alley Cox. Like, we've been talking about Mo Alley Cox, what feels like, for 3 or 4 years. And we finally had the one breakout game last year where he went off for over 100.
Yeah.
And look, Mo Alley Cox is kind of set up right now.
Hold on
to
a
have
second.
An actual breakout.
Mike Wright, are you telling me that our union, that our bond over Jack Doyle He's just getting thrown out the window for some.
He's telling
Mo
you
Ali
to get
Cox
on board.
Yeah, no, well, dude, you want to get on that Mo Ali Cox bandwagon? You better do it right now.
There is plenty of room on Mo Ali yeah, Cox's back.
He's carrying
He's gigantic.
But what about Jack Doyle?
Oh, Jack
Doyle. He's got
Doyle.
Tiny hands.
Yeah, he's baby hands.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Jack Doyle had another solid season. Another, what do you know? Last few weeks, 6 catches, 60 yards, and maybe a touchdown. Wow.
We're a forward-thinking podcast, and we're not living
he's
in the past of Jack Doyle anymore. I'm sorry.
I'll sometimes pick up Jack Doyle and just throw him on the end of my bench. I don't even need him there, but I just
Mike.
Want him on the roster.
Just
sort of like how the Jaguars are going to use Tim Tebow. You think Tim Tebow's playing tight end? Bullshit. He is speech giver extraordinaire. That's all he's going to be there for.
Halftime hype man.
Yeah, where are you guys drafting Tim Tebow?
Nope.
No.
No. But again, I will definitely, you know, you're in a dynasty league where you've got 35 players on the roster and the last few are garbage. I mean, that's just good for team morale. You throw him at the end of the bench and there you go. You know, it's
dude,
just,
they will
just
get
a helpful
motivated.
Omen.
That's right. What luck for him. Urban Meyer becomes the head coach as he turns 33. Goodness. Oh, maybe I can get back in the league.
Tim, did you know you could have switched to tight end and stayed in the league a long time ago?
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how to feel about it.
The minor leagues were calling.
Yeah.
He needed
Mike,
his time.
Jason, Andy, always a pleasure. I'm great. Glad to see you guys are doing well. Jason, I have confidence in you that you will get all the stats uploaded. Mike, I have confidence in you that second bottle of Crest is going to just ease all your pain.
Aquafresh, thank you very much.
Excuse me. And Andy, you know what, man? You were drafted to be great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, it was really good seeing you guys.
Take care.
Goodbye. It's been fun.
Oh, I love it.
Right, Adam fellas. Doing Adam.
Always a pleasure.
Take care, my brother.
Yeah, see man. You. Keep kicking ass.